Now, Arjun is perplexed. He is perplexed in the matter whether to fight or not to fight. That was his perplexity. After seeing his relatives in front of him with whom he was to fight, he was perplexed. And there was some argument also with Krishna. Krishna, of course, did not encourage. Now, here is a point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. What is that? What is this book?
This is the translation of Bhagavad
Gita. Now you can hear me.
I am here.
Yes. No, don't turn it at him. Just hear me. Krishna, although he is present there, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still he did not encourage him. From worldly point of view, when somebody says that, well, I give it up, I don't want it, I don't want to fight with my friend or my relative. Better let them enjoy, I shall forego my claim. From worldly point of view, this is a very, gentlemanly behavior. The one is forgoing his claim, and for the matter of his relative or friend. But Krishna is not encouraging that proposal. We have to mark it. Krishna is not encouraging. Krishna is rather, inducing Arjuna that it is not a very good proposal. It is not befitting your position. You belong to the Aryan family. You belong to the Kshatriya royal family. And you are denying to fight? No, this is not good. And I am your friend. I have taken the responsibility of your chariot driver. And if you do not fight, what people will say? So he is not encouraging. Just see. Now here is a good proposal from the worldly point of view, that Arjuna does not want to fight and Krishna is not encouraging. Now what is the point? Somebody may say that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why he is encouraging in the matter of fighting? The people at the present moment, when there is a question of war, people want to stop that war. At the present moment, the movement is going on between all nations, so they do not want war. But here we see that Krishna is not discouraging war. We have to mark this point. He is not discouraging war, but he is rather advocating, inducing Arjuna that, this is not defeating your position. You must fight. So, Here is a point that sometimes we may do something which is approved by the general public, but it may not be approved by the supreme authority. Superficially, it may appear very appealing to the sentiment of the public, but factually, such thing may not be correct. If we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and while he was inducing Arjuna to fight, it does not mean that he was inducing Arjuna to do something wrong. But from worldly point of view, Arjuna was a very pious man, and he was declined to fight, and not to kill his kinsman, not to kill his friend. This is a very important point. So he argued, no, if I fight, my people will die, and their wives will become widow, and they will be adulterated, and then by adulteration, unwanted population will increase, and we will offer and shraddha, there is a ceremony of shraddha according to Hindu scripture. I do not know whether you have in your Christian religion, but according to Hindu, a dead body is offered some respect every year. Just like the death anniversary observed, similarly in the family, the descendants, they offer some foodstuff after some religious ceremony that is called shraddha. And it is believed that that offering goes to the dead forefathers. So that is a family religious ceremony. So Arjuna said that if these people will die, we will offer that abolition to the forefathers. So from ordinary point of view, from the point of view of a family man, he argued with Krishna in so many ways. And after, at the end, he decided that I cannot fight. Then Krishna tried to induce him, and he said that yes, you whatever you are saying, that I am a kshatriya and I am not doing my duty, this is called right. But I think my mind is perplexed. So he was at the same time conscious that Sri Krishna only can make a solution of this perplexity. So he said, Tatpanna dosupa satasabhava prichyami tan dharma sangamura sita jatseva san nishitam buddhistanme shishasti ham sadhiman tan prapanyam. Tatpanna dos means a miserly man. He was conscious of the fact that he was a great hero, he was a great fighter, and at the same time, the enemies were there. So his actual duty was to fight with the enemy. They are offering, fight. for a Kshatriya, there are some obligations. If somebody challenges that I want to fight with you, the Kshatriya cannot deny. If somebody challenges, yes, I want to bet with you, gambling, the Kshatriya cannot deny. For that reason, the Pandavas lost their kingdom. The other side, his cousins, offered them that all has let us come to begging. So begging, the bit was, and they offered the kingdom. If you are defeated, then you lose your kingdom. So they lost their kingdom. Then the next offer was that if you are defeated, you lose your wife. So they lost their wife. And similarly, they are put. Now, this time if you are defeated, you have to go to the forest for 12 years. So there was a great plan behind them, and the Pandavas were defeated in so many ways, and they were harassed and embarrassed for not less than 20 years. And now they were to fight face to face. Now he is not prepared to fight. That means he has become miserly, when he is deviating from his duty. Now, so he is conscious that practically I am deviating from my duty. Tatpanna dosa, this is my miserly behavior. Dosa means it is a fault on my part. I should not have deviated from this fighting, but my sentiment does not allow me to fight with my kinsmen. So here is a perplexity. So tatpanna dosa apahata svabhava dharma samura cheta. So not only I am miserly, but I am deviating from my duty, dharma. This dharma means, according to different position, just like Brahman, the intellectual society, the Kshatriya, the administrator society, the Vaishya, the mercantile society, and the Sudras. Sudras means the laborer class. So these four divisions are always, now you can name in a different way, that doesn't matter, but in every society and for all time these divisions are there. So, according to Vedic system, this system is observed by Janasa. So, he was a Kshatriya. The Kshatriya's duty was to fight with the enemy, and he was not executing the injunction. Therefore, he is conscious that dharma sangamura seta. Oh, I am deviating from my religion also. It is the duty of the So, I am now perplexed. So, just shriyasyat nishchita. Now, you should kindly definitely say. Now, here is a position. I do not understand what is to be done. You kindly, just shriyasyat nishchita. Nishchita means definitely. What is right, brihita on me. Now Krishna can say, well, I have already telling you that you should fight, but you are not carrying out the order. So he says, sisati hang sarimang tang prapannam. So he accepted, all right, whatever arguments you have done so far, let us forget that. Now, I accept you as my spiritual master, not my friend. Now, the idea of accepting spiritual master, that is also very obligatory, you see. As soon as you accept one as a spiritual master. First of all, we have recorded in your Bihari that acceptance of spiritual master must be selected, you see, after careful examination. Just like one selects his bride or bridegroom after careful examination. In India, they are very careful because the marriage of the boys and girls takes place under the guidance of the parents. So the parents very carefully see. So similarly, one has to the acceptance of spiritual master is necessary according to Vedic injunction. Everyone should have a spiritual master. Perhaps you have seen a sacred thread we have got, sacred thread. Mr. Quinn, yes, you can, sacred thread. That sacred thread is the sign that this person has his spiritual master. As a spiritual master. Just like here, of course, there is no such distinction. A married girl, and according to Hindu system, they have got some sign there so that people can understand this girl is married. They put on a red, painting here, so that others know that this girl is married. According to what is called this? The division of the here? What is this line called?
Heart.
Heart. What is the spelling?
Heart.
To part. This parting. This parting is also, there is some meaning. When the parting is here in the middle, then that girl has her husband and she is coming from respectable family. And if the partition is here, then he sees a prostitute, you see. And if a prostitute cannot, there was king's ruling that a prostitute cannot pass here. And then again, when a girl is well-dressed, then it should be considered that she has got her husband at home, and when she is not well dressed, then it should be understood that her husband is out of home, you see. And a widow's dress, there are so many, there are symptoms, you see. So, similarly, this thread, sacred thread, is a sign that this person has accepted somebody as his spiritual master. He has got, it's just like this red mark symbolizes that this girl has her husband. Similarly, this sacred thread is the symbol that this man has got his spiritual master. So there is a ceremony, you see. So according to Vedic system, one has to accept a spiritual master in order to make a solution of his life. In every stage of his life, the spiritual master guides him. He also makes questions to the spiritual master and he guides, so that his life, his progress of life may be systematic. Now, to take such guidance means the spiritual master should also be a very perfect man. Otherwise, how can he die? Now here, Arjuna knows that Sri Krishna is the perfect person. So therefore, he is accepting him as Shishakti Han Sadhman Tam Prapanna. I am just surrendering unto yourself, and you accept me as your disciple. Because friendly talks cannot and make a solution of the perplexity. When the talks may be going on for years together, but there is no solution. Here, accepting Krishna as the spiritual master means whatever Krishna will decide, he has to accept. One cannot deny the order of a spiritual master. Therefore, one has to select a spiritual master whose order carrying he will not commit any step. Now suppose if you accept a wrong person as spiritual master, and if he guides you wrongly, then your whole life is spoiled. So one has to accept a spiritual master whose guidance will make his life perfect. That is the relation between spiritual master and disciple. It is not a formality. It is a great responsibility, both for the disciple and for the spiritual master. And, yes.
But if the disciple is ignorant before,
yes,
how does he know which master to choose? I mean, he doesn't have the knowledge.
Yes. Yes. So the first thing is that one should be searching after a disciple, searching after a spiritual master. Now, just like you search after some school, so when you are searching after some school, you must have at least some preliminary knowledge what a school means. You cannot search after a school and go to a cloth shop. If you are so ignorant that you do not know what is a school and what is a cloth shop, then it is very difficult for you. You must know at least what is a school. So that knowledge is like this. Tadvijnanatham sa gurumeva avigacche samitpani srutyam brahma. The spiritual master is required for a person who is inquisitive to have transcendental knowledge. He requires a spiritual master. Is it? So, there is another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu sreya uttamam. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta. One should search after a spiritual master who is inquisitive about transcendental subject matter. So unless one is at least conversant with the preliminary knowledge of transcendental matter, that transcendental matter here you can see, Arjuna is perplexed. And now he wants a definite answer. This is the inquiry about transcendental subject matter. So every human being has to inquire. The inquiry must be there. What is that inquiry? That inquiry is that preliminary that every human being is suffering. Ignorant man, just like a cat and dog, or an animal, they are suffering, but they do not understand. The suffering they do not understand. Just like we have seen, of course, here animals are slaughtered in slaughterhouse, according to Hindu system, of course, cow killing is not allowed. But there are meat eaters. So, according to Hindu system, if anyone wants to eat meat, he should take a goat. According to Hindu system, only goats and lambs can be killed for meat eating. No other animal. No other animal. Cow is not for meat eating. Just like the Hindus, they do not eat cow's flesh. And the Muslims, they do not eat, hog. Hog flesh, they do not eat. They have got some sentiment. But meat eating is also there in the Hindu society. But that is only by goat's meat or lamb's meat. Generally goat. Now, these goats are sacrificed before a goddess Kali. So, I have seen it that one animal is being killed, slaughtered, and another animal, which will be slaughtered next, it has been given some grass and it is standing there. You see? It has no knowledge that my next son is mine. So it is not going out. So this is animal. This is animal. A human being is not so fool. If there is time that next time my killing is to be taken up, then at least he will protest or try to go away, something like that, you see. But there is no such thing. So, the distinction between animal and man is that the animal is not aware of the suffering he is undergoing. There are suffering, both for the animals and for the man. But man is conscious. If a man is not awakened to his suffering, then he is in animal consciousness. So we should not forget that we are always under suffering. There are three kinds of suffering. I don't say about this economic problem or that is also another suffering. But according to basic knowledge, or it is a fact, there are three kinds of suffering. One kind of suffering belonging to the body and the mind. Now suppose I am getting some headache. Now I am feeling very warm. I am feeling very cold. So many bodily sufferings there are. Similarly, we have got suffering from the mind. My mind is not well today. Somebody has caused me something, so I am suffering. Or I have lost something, some friends. So many things. So suffering from the body and mind. And then suffering by the nature. This is called adhigaivi. Which we have no control. In every suffering we have no control, especially suppose that there is heavy snowfall. The whole New York City is flooded with snow and you are all put into inconvenience. That's a sort of suffering. But you have no control. You cannot stop snow falling. You see? there is a wind, cold wind. You cannot stop it. This is called adhigaivi suffering. And the suffering of the mind, the suffering of the body is called adhyasi. And there is other suffering, adhibhuti, attacked by other living beings. My enemy, some animal, or some worm, so many. So these three kinds of suffering are there, all. But we do not want all this suffering. When this question comes, now here, Arjuna is conscious that there is a fight, and it is my duty to fight with the enemy, but there is suffering because they are my kinsmen. So he is feeling that. So unless the human being is concerned and attuned to the fact that we are always in suffering, but we do not want all this suffering. This question, such a person is required to approach spiritual master. When he is conscious, you see, so long his animal life, that he does not know that he is always in suffering. He does not know, he does not care, or he does not want to make a solution. Here Arjuna is suffering, and he wants to make a solution, and therefore he accesses his spiritual master. So when we are conscious of our suffering, we are awakened to the suffering situation. Suffering is there. Forgetfulness or ignorance of suffering is no meaning. Suffering is there. But when one is very serious to make a solution of his suffering, then a spiritual master is required. That's why Arjuna requires now a spiritual master. Is it clear?
Yes.
So, the suffering is there. It does not require any education. Simply thinking, that a slight thinking, that I do not want all this suffering, but I am suffering. Why? Is there any solution? Is there any solution? All these scriptures, all this Vedic knowledge, everything, not only Vedic knowledge, now, why you are going to school, why you are going to college, why you are taking scientific education, why you are taking law education. Everything is meant for ending our suffering. If there was no suffering, then nobody would have taken education, is it? But he thinks that if I am educated, if I become a doctor, or if I become a lawyer, or if I become an engineer, I will be happy. That is the ultimate aim. I will get a good job, government job, I will be happy. The happiness is the end of every persuasion. So, that these mitigation of suffering, they are temporary. Real suffering is due to our this material existence. These three kinds of suffering. So, when one is conscious about his suffering and he wants to make a solution of his suffering, then there is necessary of spiritual master. Now, if you want to make a solution of your suffering and you want to consult a person, now what sort of person he must be? Who can end your all suffering? That selection must be there. If you want to purchase a jewel and a diamond and very valuable thing, and if you go to a grocer's shop, that kind of ignorance, you must be cheated. You must be cheated. At least you must approach a jewelry shop. Really soft. He says, so much knowledge you must have. So, is that question solved?
Yes.
The necessity of a spiritual master is for him who is conscious of his material suffering. If one is not conscious of his material suffering, then he is not even on the human being status. He is still in the animal status. Animal status, you see. Now, the modern civilization is practically, they are evading the real suffering. They are engaged in temporary suffering. But the Vedic system is Vedic knowledge. They are meant for ending the sufferings of for good. Suffering is for good, you see. The human life is meant for that, ending all suffering. Of course, we are trying to end all kinds of suffering. Our business, our occupation, our education, our advancement of knowledge, everything is meant for ending suffering. But that suffering is temporary. Temporary. But we have to end the suffering for good. Oh, suffering for good. That sort of knowledge is for transcendental knowledge. And if anyone is seeking after that transcendental knowledge, this Bhagavad Gita is not an ordinary thing. It's transcendental knowledge. And now here, the ground is prepared. Ground is prepared. Arjuna is conscious of his suffering, perplexity. Now he is seeking a spiritual master. So we should take the position of Arjuna, disciple. When a disciple is serious about making a solution of his suffering, then he requires a spiritual master. And what sort of spiritual master? Krishna, the most perfect man. The most perfect man. So, a spiritual master is representative of Krishna. Of course, Krishna is not present before us. But at least, we must have a person as our spiritual master who represents Krishna. And who can represent Krishna? One who is devotee of Krishna. In the line, disciple success, you see. So, see here, Arjuna has said, Krishna as the spiritual master. Now, question may be that why Arjuna, there were many learned men. Not only Krishna, but there were Vasudeva and other great sages and Brahmins. Krishna was also Kshatriya. Krishna was not a Brahmin. Of course, he took his, he appeared in the family of a Kshatriya. And they were cousin brothers, Krishna and Arjuna, they were cousin brothers. Krishna was the son of the brother, and Arjuna was the son of the sister. Arjuna's mother and Krishna's father, they are brother and sister. So, in a family relation, they are intimately related, and at the same time, they are of the same age and friends. Now, the question may be, why Krishna is accepted as a spiritual master? That is the selection of the disciple. That Arjuna says, Nahi prapachyami mamapunudya jachuka muchu sanamindriyanam avapa bhumava asabhatna midyam rajyam suranam upichadhikattam. He says that I am so perplexed that my lamentation cannot be satisfied even if I gain the kingdom of the universe. I am going to fight for the kingdom only of this earth or the India. Of course, formally, India means Bharat. Now, India is a name given by the foreigners. The real name of this planet is Bharatvarsha. This planet. Now, gradually, it has been cut off. It has been cut off. Just like we have got an immediate experience that some portion of India is now cut off and that is named Pakistan. You know all. Similarly, this whole planet, 5,000 years before, this whole planet was known as Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha. Before that, thousands and millions of years before, this planet was known as Ilavati was. And now, since the time of Emperor Bharat, there was an emperor whose name was Bharat. So, from the name of Bharat, this planet's name became Bharatvarsha. So, up to 5,000 years before, up to 4,000 years before, although the modern history cannot give account, chronological account, more than 2,500 years. But we are speaking for 4,000 years before, this planet was called Bharatvarsha. Now, Arjuna says that we are going to fight for the matter of this Bharatvarsha planet. This is one of the planets in the universe. But if I get the whole planets of this, the complete planets of this universe, and without any competitor, still the perplexity which has arisen in my mind, that cannot be mitigated. So, now see, what sort of responsibility is given to the Krishna? Sanjaya was. But Sanjaya is saying, eva mukta rishikesham gurasesu param tapah nadasse iti govindam mukta tushmi vanuvah. Just saying this, Arjuna becomes silent. So, I cannot fight. Tamuvāca Rishikesaḥ prasanniva bhārata senaya rupayamadhi visīdantam idamanasaḥ. Now here Krishna is addressed as Rishikesaḥ. Rishikesaḥ, we should always remember that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. He is present as incarnation. Now, God is all powerful. God is all powerful. So, if He comes before you, you cannot deny that how is that God has come. You cannot say that. If God is all powerful, then it is His choice. It is His free will. He can come before you, provided you are such qualified devotee. So, there cannot be any solid argument that God cannot come, or God, of course, so far Vedic literatures are concerned, they accept the incarnation of God. So, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And so, he is addressed as Rishikesha. Rishikesha, it has got significant meaning. Rishik means senses. Rishik. And Isha means Lord. Isha means Lord. So, he is the Lord of the senses. He is the Lord of the senses. Similarly, Govinda. Here also, Govinda name is also there, yes. Nadasya iti Govindam upya tusmin bahuva. Govinda, go means also senses. Go means cow. Go means land. And go means sense. And Inda means pleasure. One who gives pleasure to the cow, one who gives pleasure to the land, one who gives pleasure to the senses. So his name is Govinda. But two names are used here. So we should try to understand what is the meaning of Rishikesha. Rishik means Indriya. And Isha means love. So, whatever senses we have got, actually the proprietor of the senses, not myself. The proprietor of the senses is God. Just like we are sitting in this room is allotted for our sitting under some consideration of rent or whatever it may be, but this room is not ours. That's a fact. We should not consider that this is, I am the proprietor of the room. Although I am using it to my heart's desire as I like, that is a divine thing. But as soon as there is some misunderstanding, or the landlord says, now you cannot room in this room, okay, I have to vacate. Similarly, this is also just like room. This is our body. This body is given to us by God under certain conditions. And as soon as God likes that you should vacate from this body, I have to vacate. Nobody can allow us to stay. And besides that, just like my hand, now suppose if this hand is paralyzed, the power of this hand is so long, there is power from the Supreme. Otherwise, if my hand is paralyzed, there is no remedy. There is no remedy. You see? So we are not the owner of this body, not the owner of the senses. The senses are just like hired from the Supreme Lord. This is a very subtle understanding, one should know. So therefore, actually, the proprietor of the senses is God. Now, if I am the proprietor of this state record, then it should be utilized for my purpose. Anything which I own, that should be utilized for my purpose. Your things should be utilized for your purpose. So, if God is the proprietor of our senses, then these senses must be used for God's purpose. That is the constitutional position. That is the constitutional position. Now, when these senses are used for other than God's purpose, that is the bondage, condition of life. When the senses are purified and it is used for God's purpose, that is natural life. That is natural life. So whole trouble is that although our senses and everything, whatever we have got, and there is Isho Upanishad, a part of Veda, it is stated there that Isha Avasanidam Sadmam, everything, whatever you see, that belongs to God. That belongs to God. Now, it is our misunderstanding that we are claiming, all the people of the world, they are claiming as proprietor. Now, just like this American land, now you are claiming as the proprietor. But is it a fact, actually, are you proprietor? Now, say, some hundreds and hundreds of you, when Columbus came, so there were no Americans here. And so you were not proprietor, the land was there. Now, when you shall go away, the land will also be there. So the land belongs to God and everything. But now, we say that we have manufactured this typewriter. Now this typewriter, ingredient, the iron. Have we manufactured iron? No. Iron is received from the mine. It is given by God. Nobody can manufacture iron. Nobody can manufacture anything They can transform from one thing to another. They can bring out the iron from the mine. They can melt and they can transform the shape of the metal in a different way. So that they can do, but they cannot produce iron. They cannot produce anything. Wood, iron, earth, anything whatever. So the real proprietor is God. Real proprietor is God. This is God consciousness. This is God consciousness. One who is in God consciousness, he is a perfect man. He is a perfect man. So here, the significant word, tam vacha rishikesha prahasan iva bharata sena ruhaya madhye visidantam idam vacha. Now, Krishna is smiling. Krishna is smiling because yes, you can open it. Yes. Krishna is smiling. Let's just see, Arjuna is such a hero, he is my friend, and now he is so much perplexed. Now, when he sat down and he and Arjuna accepted Krishna as the spiritual master, now Krishna begins to speak. Sri Bhagavan was. Here, the book does not say Krishna was. Sri Bhagavan was. Now we should understand what is the meaning of Bhagavan. Bhava means opulence. There are six kinds of opulence. And what are?
Yes. Means what?
Opulence.
Opulence.
Do you follow? Opulence.
Yes.
So, what are these opulence? Wealth is opulence. Then the strength is opulent. Then Vishajyastha Samakrasya Vijyastha strength and pain. Pain is also opulent. And just like Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Christian world knows Lord Krishna, everyone knows. Apart from that, President Johnson. Now the whole America and the whole world knows who is President Johnson. Mahatma Gandhi. The famous. So fame is also opulent. And nobody knows me, but he is also a person. He is known throughout the whole world. So this is an opulent. Just like your Rockefeller, they're very rich. Everyone knows in the world. So they are opulent by wealth. Similarly, somebody is opulent by fame, and somebody is opulent by strength. So strength is opulent, wealth is opulent, and fame is opulent, and then beauty. Beauty is also opulent. If one man or woman is very beautiful, he attracts persons. He attracts. So anything that attracts, that is called opulent. A wealthy man attracts. A strong man attracts. A famous man attracts. If somebody famous man comes here, so many people will gather to receive him. So these are opulences. Wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Six. Anyone who possesses all these six opulences in full, he is God. That is the definition of God. Anyone. So when Krishna was present on this earth, he soul, his opulence is in full. Opulence is in full. Of course, we have got all these historical records about him. Now, so far as wealth is concerned, he had 16,108 wives. And for each of them, he builds a palace. And all those palaces were so nicely built that there was no need of electricity or light. It was bedecked with jewels. So day and night they were blazing, you see. So these descriptions are there. But if we forget that he is God, then this will be something like story. That how a man can marry 16 wives. How, you know? But we should always remember that he is God. He is all powerful. Or no other person such and historical records are there. Only for Krishna. So, in strength also, nobody could conquer him. And beauty. So far beauty is concerned, when he was on the battlefield, have you seen any picture of Krishna? Have you seen? No. No. Of course, any one of you have seen Krishna when he was present in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. At that time, he was about 90 years old. 90 years old. He had his great-grandchildren. He married 16,000 wives and each wife had 10 children. And those 10 and the children, they also got each 10, 12 children. And their children also. Because he was at that time 90 years old. He got at the time great grandchildren also. So his family was very great. Now, if you see the picture of Krishna, you will see him just like a boy of 22, 25 years. He was so beautiful. That is the sign of God. It is stated in Brahma Sanhita, Advaitayatyanadiyanantarupam Adyam Purana Purusam Navajovanancha. He is the original person. Because from God everyone has born. Therefore he is the original person. Adyam Purana Purusam. Purana is the oldest person. He is still Navajovanancha. Whenever you see God, this is the sign of God. He will find him just like a youth, a new youth. Youthfulness means 16 to 24 years. So, Navajuvana. That is the sign of God. So you are so beautiful that when he was a boy of 15 years old, the whole of the same age girls of his age, they were after him. So, in beauty, you are super excellent. In wealth, you are super excellent. In strength, you are super excellent. And in knowledge, now, here is a book, Bhagavad Gita. Apart from other books, other knowledge which is imparted to others. Now, here is a book which was imparted to Arjuna. Now, it is so the depth of knowledge that people are still considered great scholars. We are not reading, but Dr. Radhakrishnan, one of the greatest scholars of the world, Now he is the president of India. He is discussing. Professor Einstein, he was living here in America. He was a German Jew. I think he was living in America. He was a great student of this Bhagavad Gita. Hitler was a great student of Bhagavad Gita. And there are many scholars who are still reading Bhagavad Gita, trying to understand. Just see what depth of knowledge he has given. It is meant by Krishna. So, in knowledge, in wealth, in strength, in beauty, everything was up to that. Therefore, he was. You cannot assess any ordinary man as Bhagavan. So therefore, Bhagavan. Now, Bhagavan Uvasa, and because he has been accepted as the spiritual master, just like a teacher has the right to sometimes rebuke this student. So, in the first instance, he is rebuking Arjuna in the following words, that Asatyan anusutasang prajnabadan subhasate gatasum agatasum cha nanusutam dipandita. That Arjuna, he was speaking just like a very great learned man, but he was, in other words, you are a fool. You do not know how things are going on. Because Pandita, those who are learned men, they would not have lamented just like you are doing. That means indirectly he says, Pandita means learned. Learned man does not lament over a dead body or a living body. Gatasuna, gatasus. Sums means life. One has lost his life and one has got his life. A body, a living body and a dead body. A living body and dead body. Just mark the point that a learned man, as you are lamenting over the subject of killing your friends and relatives, but a learned man would not have lamented like this. That means you are a fool. When he says, just like if I say, Mr. Green, what you have done, any intelligent man should not have done this. So this is indirectly saying that you are not intelligent. It is in a gentleman's way speaking, Mr. Green, what you are doing, no intelligent man can do this. That means you are not intelligent. So he says, and that's all. You are lamenting over the body of your relative because in the fight you are considering that my friends and my relatives will be killed. So that means they are a living body, and you are lamenting over the over their killing. So this sort of lamentation is never done by a learned man. A learned man never does it. Gatasum agatasum sananu sutanti pandita. Those who are learned, one who is learned, he does not lament over the body. Either a living body or dead body. There is no question. Now, because one who knows the distinction between the body and the soul, one becomes just like you have heard the name of Socrates, great philosopher, Greek philosopher. He believed in the immortality of soul. So he was punished in the court. Hemlock was offered to him that all right, if you believe the immortality of soul, that you drink this hemlock poison. So he drank. Because he was firmly convinced that even if I drink this poison, my body will be destroyed. By destruction of my body, I am not going to be destroyed. He was convinced. So he did not like it. A pandit, when a learned man, must know that this body and soul, the distinction, the difference between body and soul, the body is not soul and the soul is not body. And one who knows, he is learned man. This instruction is given first. For spiritual advancement, this first knowledge that the body and the soul is different. This body cannot be identified with the soul. You see? But the soul is there. But God is not soul. God is not soul. So every learned man knows this. And we should be, I think we can stop here.